enough for you to continuously praise him? Is he just that good that you just continuously praise him over and over and over and over and over again? Is there anybody here that just wants to praise the Lord for just a few minutes? David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Is there anybody that's glad to be in the house this morning? Hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank God for the opportunity to be in the house of worship. Amen, amen. Amen, amen. We praise God for the ability to praise God. Amen. God is good. And all the time. God is good. Amen. We thank God for this wonderful opportunity to be before you this morning. And I just want to greet you in the name of my Father. Amen. Amen. To all of my Father's children, I say good morning. Good morning. Amen. Good morning. Amen. Amen. Is that better? Yes. Amen. Praise the Lord. We can move on. Hallelujah. We thank God for this opportunity. Anytime our good friend Pastor Snarden calls, we come running. Because we understand he could call anybody. So we count it as an honor and a privilege to be able to stand behind this sacred desk before you this morning. And just, I always say I'm going to give him a little Easter speech and then I'm going to sit on down. Amen, amen. To my fellow laborers in the gospel, thank you for continuing to work in this vineyard with me. Amen. We're going to continue to keep your pastor lifted. Amen. This is not an easy job. This is a heavy call. And if you've never done this, if you've never stood behind this desk, you really don't understand the impact that it has on you. And until you walk a mile in somebody's shoes, the only thing you can do for them is pray for them and try to be as understanding as possible, amen? So we have told David that we're going to continue to pray for him and do whatever we can to try and lighten his burden, amen? For we know he has a tremendous burden for his community and his church, and we know that he is praying for you all as well, amen? I want to acknowledge my high school sweetheart who is here. We just celebrated 18 years of marriage in October, and we thank God from that 18 years, we have two beautiful daughters, Devin and Madison, who are sitting there in the back. Amen, amen. They even brought a friend with them this morning, Kaylin, she's here. She's trying to hide, it's all right, it's all right. But we thank God for this opportunity. If you have your Bibles, won't you turn with me to the book of 1 Kings? As we come to the end of 2018, there are some things that I believe God is trying to tell us. In order for us to be successful in 2019, there's some things that we're going to have to do. There's some stuff that we're going to have to pay attention to. There's some things we're going to have to get away from. 1 Kings, the 17th chapter. We're going to start at the first verse. First book of Kings, the 17th chapter, starting at verse 1. If you have that, won't you let me know by saying amen? If you need a few more minutes, just say wait. Amen. It's good to hear pages turning. Amen. 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 1 Kings chapter 17. And the word of the Lord reads, and Elisha the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, except at my word. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening. And he drank from the brook. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you." So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, "Please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink." I want to take our emphasis for this morning from verse 7. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And I just want to ask a simple question this morning. What do you do when your brook dries up? Shall we pray? Most gracious and all wise God, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. I thank you, God, for the opportunity just to come into your house of worship. Thank you, God, for this day, for this is the day that you have made. So, God, we will rejoice and be glad in it. God, we come acknowledging that this is your time. This is your space. God, these are your people. So we step aside and say, have your way in this place. Do whatever you want to do, God. Say whatever you want to say. For, Lord, you know better than we do what we need. God, you know before we need anything. God, you know what we need. So, Lord, we come acknowledging that you are God and God alone. And we thank you, God, for the opportunity to be in your very presence. God, we pray, dear Heavenly Father, that all the songs that have been sung, all the prayers that have been prayed, God, that they have been pleasing unto your sight. For, Lord, we know that we came into this house to praise you, God. And we've tried to do our best to do just that. But now, Lord, we've come to this time in the service, God, for where we need to hear a word from you. Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. Bread of heaven, feed us until we want no more. God, we'll be so ever mindful and careful, God, to give you all of the glory. Now, Lord, I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you would give me the strength that I need to stand before your people. Lord, I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you do not punish them for any of my shortcomings. I pray, Lord, that you will hide me behind Calvary's cross so that they do not hear me, but, God, they encounter and experience you. For, Lord, you know that I've studied, but, God, I still need your strength. I've prayed, but, God, I still need your power. So, Lord, I pray that you would have your way in this place. And God, we'll be ever mindful to praise your holy and righteous name. In Jesus' name, let all of God's people say amen. 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 What do you do? What do you do? You come to the end of the year. You're looking for resources. What do you do when your brook dries up? The thing you were counting on, the very thing you were looking forward to, all of a sudden in there anymore. What do you do when your brook dries up? When we think about the prophet Elijah, there are two major events that come to mind. For my Sunday school students, you know, the prophet, when he came and had a victory at Mount Carmel, when he summoned all the people of Israel and about 450 prophets of Baal together to issue a challenge, he said to them, "If the Lord be God, then we'll worship him. But if Baal be God, then we'll follow Baal." Elijah gave instruction for two bulls to be prepared and some wood to be laid at an altar, one for Baal and one for the Lord. The prophets were then told to call on their god, Baal. And if he would come, and the Lord would come, and we would see which one of the gods were supreme. He told the prophets to call on Baal. He told them to gather all the things that they needed to make a sacrifice to Baal. Anything you need, he let them have free reign. Get whatever you got to get to worship. Whatever Baal likes, get that. So you can make sure that he comes down when you call. And as you know, Elijah allowed the 450 prophets to cry first. He said, I'm going to be a gentleman in this situation, and I'm going to let you all go first. Do whatever you got to do. Set it up however you need to set it up, and go ahead and call on Baal, and we'll sit here and watch what happens. Then he told them, well, I don't see anything happening just yet. I know you've been calling on for a few hours now, because I've been looking at my Timex, and I don't see anything happening just yet. Why don't you call him a little louder? He may not be able to hear you just the way you're calling him right now. Or better yet, he may be busy. Or he may be asleep. And some theologians even said that Elijah said maybe he's using the restroom. Why don't you call him a little louder? I tell you what, why don't you build a higher altar to him? Maybe he can't see it from where he's sitting. Go ahead, I'm going to give you, you need some more resources. Do you need anything else? Let me add some extra rocks in here for you. Let's get some extra things. What do you need to go ahead and call on Baal? Because apparently he's not responding to what you're doing. I'm just trying to be helpful here. Anybody ever try to be helpful in a situation? Elisha allowed them to call on Baal first, but hours passed and nothing happened. Nothing happened. Nothing happened. There wasn't even a spark. There was no flicker. There was no flame. It didn't even get warm. Nothing happened. So Elijah said, okay, y'all done? Okay, I'm going to go ahead and set mine up, and then I'm going to call on my God, and then we're going to see what happens. And I can just imagine Elijah, he was probably just giddy, just so excited about the fact that he was about to really show them who God really was. So Elijah went to the altar, and he told him, he said, put up 12 stones. He said, cut the bull in half. And he filled the trench with water 3 times until the water overflowed. And the Bible says that at the customary time for the evening sacrifice, Elijah called out to the Lord, and immediately fire fell from heaven and burnt up the bull, the wood, the stones, and even the dust that was surrounding the altar. Everything got dried up, including the 3 inches of water that he had for them to pour around the altar. Ain't God awesome? Ain't God amazing? When you call on, ain't it good to know that when you call on the Lord, he shows up and he gives you an answer? Ain't it good to know that just when you call on him, you ain't got to worry if you're by yourself or not? Anybody ever had to call on the Lord? Has he ever showed up for anybody? Anybody ever said, Lord, I need you? And before you could even finish the prayer, there he was making a way out of no way. Ain't it good to know that we serve a God that's always on time? He's never late, but he's always there just in the nick of time. I'm sure Elijah was feeling very proud of who God was. I'm sure he was feeling at that moment very successful in his endeavor. But then I'm also reminded about a second instance where Elijah knew that it was about his time to go on up to heaven. And he didn't want to quite leave a hole where his ministry had been. So he talked to his successor, Elijah. And he told Elijah, he said, you know what, before I go, because it's just about my time, before I go, what is it that you need from me? What do you need? Whatever I can do to help you, I will. Just let me know what you need. And as I read that passage, it dawned on me that God is so awesome that even in the midst of doing something, he sends somebody your way to help you just when you need it. We're all busy in this world. We all got stuff going on. But have you ever been helped by somebody? You ever had a helping hand from somebody? Ain't it good to know that when you need people, God sends who you need just when you need them? You ever been stuck on the side of the road and a car stopped and helped you? You ever not known how to fix something at home and just when you needed it, there was a knock at your door? You ever been to the point? Now maybe this ain't y'all. Maybe y'all always had what you needed. But I remember growing up when we didn't have groceries in the house and didn't know where our next meal was coming from. And all of a sudden, there was a... somebody with some groceries. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody know what it's like to need help and God send help? And I could just about imagine that this successor was feeling the weight of who his predecessor was. And I'm sure he was wondering, how am I going to carry this mantle? What am I going to, Elijah, he defeated 450 prophets. I'm supposed to come behind that? Lord, what am I supposed to do? But just when he thought he wasn't going to have any help, Elijah said, what is it that you need from me? I'm on my way somewhere, but before I go, I'm going to help you. And I thought about that too. I thought about when Jesus was on the cross. Isn't it amazing that he wasn't too busy dying that he couldn't stop and help somebody right next to him? There was another person on another cross right next to him. And in the midst of Jesus dying, he had a conversation with somebody else. I know we can get caught up in our own situation, and we don't like to be bothered sometimes when we're going through what we're going through, but sometimes every now and then it's helpful to help somebody else. My mama used to tell me all the time, it's a blessing to be a blessing. And on the cross, when Jesus was dying, he had a conversation with a thief. And the thief acknowledged who Christ was. He said, man, will you come into your kingdom? Will you do me one favor? Will you remember me? Isn't that amazing how Jesus took the time to help somebody? Isn't it amazing how in the midst of going through what he was going through, he took the time to help somebody and their destiny? And I just want to ask you today, have you been so busy that you walked past somebody that needed your help and you didn't even pay attention to them? Have we gotten so busy in our society that we've refused to help those who need us the most? I know church folk, we get so busy coming into the church house that sometimes we miss the work of doing the church. We get so busy trying to be the church that we forget to do the work of the church. But on his way to heaven, Elijah said, what is it that you need? So they took a walk, and as they were walking, His successor said, I just want your mantle. I just want you to lay your mantle on me. That's all. I don't need a whole lot. He said, if you just lay your mantle on me, I'll be okay. I want to be the rightful successor to who you are. I want to take up your ministry. I want to do what you do. I saw you do a whole lot of work, and I think it's great, and I want to do that. And Elisha said, okay. So he granted him his ministry. He passed down his okay to his successor. If our young people would just get the okays from us, if they would just get the encouragement from us. My husband and I were watching a movie the other day, The Equalizer 2. I don't know if anybody's seen it, but in the movie, Denzel began to mentor a young man. He was a great artist. Kid was still in high school, and Denzel said, you know, there's no way to success the quick way. Success don't always come easy. You got to work for it. Because the kid was looking for some quick cash. He said, but you're going to get it quickly, but you're going to lose it just as quickly as you got it. Denzel in the movie took to this young man, and this young man ended up becoming a phenomenal artist. And I was talking to my husband. I said, you know, if more of our young black boys were just encouraged by our black men, I wonder what they would be like. And he said, you know, babe, he said, I feel like sometimes us men really don't know what to tell them. I said, but you have to understand, you don't have to have all the answers. Just being there means so much to them. Just letting them know they have your support means a whole lot to them. Just knowing that somebody is in their corner goes a long way. You don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to know all the scriptures. All you have to do is just show up. That would mean so much to somebody if you just showed up. It's called the presence, or the ministry of presence. Just being there. You ain't got to do a whole lot. Just be present. Just be kind to the person right next to you. You never know what somebody's going through when they go home. You never know what they have to deal with when they're away from you or out of your presence. You just don't know what people are dealing with behind closed doors. All they're asking for you to do is just show up. And that's all Elijah did for Elisha. He just was there for him. He just patted him on the back, even on his way to heaven. He said, I'm here for you. You're going to be all right. You're going to go on and do great things. Can you imagine what you would have become if somebody had just told you, you're going to be all right? Can you imagine how different your life might have been if somebody would have encouraged you on the way? If somebody would have told you, you got what it takes. You can do this. But Elijah, on his way to heaven, encouraged somebody. But those are the two things that we are most familiar with Elijah about. But before all of that took place, Elijah had to stop by a brook. Go with me for just a few minutes. Before these two major events in Elijah's life, he had to stop by a brook and learn a couple lessons. Before he faced the prophets of Baal, before he was carried to heaven, he had to stop by a brook. You see, Elijah had just told King Ahab that there wasn't going to be any rain for about a year. There was going to be a drought in the land because of what King Ahab had done. If you're familiar with King Ahab, you would understand and know that he married a woman by the name of Jezebel. And he began to worship the God that she worshiped. And I just stopped to tell you that when you connect with somebody, understand who they are. When you get into relationship with somebody, understand who they worship. Get to know them. Get to know who they are. Get to know who they worship, because it could end up impacting who you worship. Sisters, I know he's 6'4", he's chocolate and fine, but understand who he worships. Brothers, I know she's built like a brick house, but understand who she worships. Because it could end up impacting, not just your eyesight. It could end up impacting your heart. It could end up impacting if you're going to have rain or if you're going to be in a drought for about a year. I'm just saying, I just stopped by and come to meddle, because it really ain't none of my business who you hook up with. I'm just trying to help you along the way. It ain't about, you know, who you hook up with. It's mostly important about whose heart you hook up with, who you're in relationship with, who you connect with. If they going the same way you going with, fine. But if y'all are going in two different directions, watch out. Watch where they go on Wednesday nights. They going to Bible study, or watch where they go on Sunday mornings. Are they going to Sunday school? Can you ever talk about Jesus in their presence? If not, might I suggest you find somebody else to connect with. King Ahab connected with Jezebel, and all of a sudden he found himself in a little bit of a pickle. Found himself worshiping Baal. That ain't the God he grew up with. That ain't the God he knew. He ended up worshiping this foreign God all because this brick house that he fell in love with. All because. Yeah. All because he didn't pray before he said, I do. And now all of a sudden his people have to suffer for his actions. Could it be that your household is suffering because of the lack of worship in your house? Could it be that your people are suffering because of the decisions and the choices that you made? Could it be that God is trying to get your attention because you have taken your eyes off of Him? I'm just asking, could it be? So Elijah had to go and deliver the news to King Ahab. Guess what? There's not going to be any rain for about a year because of your disobedience to God. And Elijah was then instructed to go and get away from that place. He was instructed to go down by this brook Cherith. And the Bible says that God told him to go away from this place. And God said, Elijah, go down by the brook, and I'm going to make sure that you're fed and you have plenty to drink. So I'm sure Elijah was thinking, okay, God said He was going to supply all my needs. I'm going to go. I'm on my way. So first day, he was fed. It's all good. Ravens gave him bread. The brook was flowing. He was drinking. He was eating. He was resting. He was good. Day two, he was good. He was eating. He was drinking. Ravens was feeding him. He was resting. He was communing with God. He was good. Three, four, five, day seven, first week, second week, third week, first month, he was good. He was eating good. The ravens was feeding him. The brook was flowing. He had plenty to drink. He was resting. He was good. Month two, he was still good. Still praising and worshiping God, still good. Life has been good to him so far. But then something happened after a while. All of a sudden, hadn't been no rain for a while. And the brook got its source from the rains. And all of a sudden, I'm sure he looked at the water and said, this water ain't as high as it was last week. I'm going to still stay here, though. I'm not going to go anywhere. The ravens, they still coming. They still bringing me bread. But as I'm sure he was looking at the brook kept getting smaller and smaller and smaller. Elijah knew wasn't no rain coming, but the brook kept getting smaller and smaller and smaller until one day he woke up to nothing. He woke up to no water in the brook because the Bible says the brook dried up. And I'm sure Elijah was thinking, okay, I could probably go 1 or 2 days without water, but I can't go much longer. I can go some days without food, but water, I can't survive too long without. Just like that, all of a sudden, the thing that Elijah had been counting on was gone. You ever been in that predicament? You relied on a job for several years, and then all of a sudden, one day, you get called into the boss's office. And I told your services are no longer needed. What do you do with a pink slip? What do you do when you go into the doctor's office and the doctor says, well, we got your test results back and it doesn't look good? You've been healthy all your life. You felt good all your life. But then one day something didn't feel right. So you went to the doctor and they ran some tests and the doctor said, well, we found something. What do you do? You've been counting on your health. You've been counting on your job. You've been counting on stuff that has always been there for you. But what do you do when that stuff is not there anymore? What do you do when life becomes unpredictable? What do you do when you don't seem to have answers for the problems that life is presenting you? What do you do? Well, I'm glad you asked. You didn't know you asked the question, but you did. I'm glad you asked. There are three things that I'm going to point to and then I'm going to get out your way. There are three things that Elijah did that we all need to follow when life hands us a dried up brook. Now, I know that dried up brooks aren't things we like to face. But in order for God to use us, there are some things and some situations that he has to let dry up first before he can get your attention. There's some relationships that have to go. There are some things that you've been too dependent on. There's some people you've been too dependent on that God has got to get out of the way in order for him to get your full attention. You've been thinking it was your strength. You've been thinking it was your friends. You've been thinking it was your job. But God said, let me help you understand that it's not by power nor by might, but it's by my power, saith the Lord. It ain't nothing to do with you. It ain't because you've been so cute. It ain't because you've been so smart. It ain't because of the connections that you've had. But it's only by God's grace that you've made it this far. And he's got to get you to the point to where you don't see anybody else but him in order for you to understand that. Elisha was eating and drinking, and the brook dried up. So God instructed Elijah to get up and go live in a village called Zarephath. And there he would find a widow that would feed him. So Elijah got up and he went. Now, the interesting thing is that Elijah is in hiding and has been in hiding to this whole point. He told the king some bad news. King didn't like it, but in order for Elijah to stay alive, he had to flee. So God told him to go to this place, and so he was in hiding for several days. Anybody ever played hide and seek? When you were little, there was base, and all of a sudden when the person was supposed to find you, he'd start counting and you'd run and hide, and then it was time to find you, right? Nobody, it was just me playing hide and seek. Okay, just me in the trees in the backyard. It's me just running around by myself, okay. Playing hide and seek is a very interesting game. Because you're hiding and somebody's trying to find you. And I have found in church ain't much different. There's some folk in here that are hiding and God's trying. Okay, I'm going to leave that alone. I didn't come to meddle. Because unfortunately, some of us are still playing hide and seek. But Elijah was in hiding. And I could imagine that he was probably wondering what his next move was going to be. Because I'm sure he was comfortable at the brook when the birds were feeding him and the water was flowing. He was good. He wasn't worried about nothing. He said, God told me to hide, so I'm hiding. God must be keeping me. But now all of a sudden, he's presented with a dilemma of a dried up brook. And now where am I supposed to go? God, what's happening now? What's happening right now, God? Why is my brook drying up? And I just came to encourage somebody, even though you got a dried up brook that you're looking at, understand and know that God has not forgotten about you. God is still in the midst. God is still working on your behalf. God is still working it out for your good. Romans 8:28 says, for we know that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Anybody love the Lord in here? Then be encouraged. It's working out for your good. But there are three things that Elisha did that we have to understand, and we should mimic what he did. First, he listened, then he trusted, and then he moved. Say that with me. He listened, he trusted, and he moved. See, brothers and sisters, that's exactly what God wants you to do for 2019. He wants to get your attention. He needs you to listen to him. He's got some things that he wants you to do, but he's got to get your attention. He needs to get you focused. He's got to get you to the point to where you hear his voice and his voice only. Then he wants to get you to the point to where when you hear him, you trust him enough to do something about what he's told you to do. He wants you to listen. He wants you to trust. And then he wants you to move. As we pick up with Elijah, we encounter him on the move. But even on the move, he's still listening to God's voice. So often in life, especially the lives that we lead right now, this hustle and bustle that we're in, where everything has got to be at such a fast pace. I found it funny, even the microwaves ain't fast enough for us anymore. We're looking at the microwaves saying, come on, I got to go, I got something else I got to do. The microwaves ain't even fast. Fast food ain't even fast enough no more. 5 minutes in a driveway is way too long. Okay, maybe that's just me and my... Never mind. We just live in a fast-paced society. We live in a world where we coming and going and we meeting ourselves somewhere in the middle. We got stuff to do. We got kids to get off. We got jobs to do. We got people to see. We got places to go. And we got calendars that are getting fuller and fuller and fuller by the minute. We can't even keep up with our own calendars. Our smartphones ain't smart enough. They're not fast enough. We got stuff and places we got to go and people we need to see and things we got to do. And if social media is an indicator of how fast-paced we're supposed to live our lives, we'll never catch up. We're filling our days with activities. Our kids are even making their own play dates at this point. I can't tell you how busy I am because my kids are busy. Jesus, that just made me tired just thinking about it, because, you know, I got to run them here and run them there and then try to fit my schedule somewhere in between what they got to do. And, like, they got full-time jobs, you know what I'm saying? Like, they got responsibilities they really got to meet, but they looking at me now like I'm crazy. Okay, they understand, you know, huh? Yeah, mama, the taxi cab driver, she goes and comes as they please, apparently. They got stuff to do, so I got stuff to do. So I got to make sure that I got to get everything done that I'm supposed to get done. But God asked me a question. He said, where do I fit in between all that? When do you carve out time for me? How do you get your instruction if you never slow down to read the directions? How can you put something together without a manual? If you never bother to read the manual, how can you figure out where this bolt goes and this nut goes? And how do you figure out how to screw and turn this if you can't stop to read the instructions? He had to get Elisha away for a minute just to make sure that he had his attention. 1 Kings 19 says that God did not speak through an earthquake or a windstorm, or fire, but in a still, small voice. God's not on a billboard. He's not stopping traffic for you. He's not in neon lights. He's not popping up on your cell phone. That's not how God operates. You sometimes have to get still and know that He is God. Sometimes you just have to be still. Sometimes you have to sit down for a minute and rest your nerves in order to really and truly hear what God is trying to say to you. Be still and know. The psalm says, He maketh me lie down. Why? Because we wouldn't lie down on our own. He sometimes has to make us lie down because we ain't got good sense enough. You've been asking God, show you the way. You've been asking God, what am I supposed to do now? You've been asking God, where am I supposed to go now? And God said, well, if you would ever slow down, I'll tell you. If you don't ever take the time to stop and listen, I'll tell you. But I can't seem to catch up with you. I can't seem to get on your schedule. You're too busy. You got too much going on. So then you say, okay, God, help me. God says, okay, I'll help you. He dries up a brook. And you say, wait a minute, God, hold up, wait a minute, hold up, wait a minute. I said, tell me where to go. God said, okay, He dries up a brook. You say, wait a minute, God, hold up, wait a minute, that ain't what I said. I said, tell me where to go. God said, okay, let me dry up this brook. No, God, see, the brook ain't the problem. The problem is I don't know which way to go. God said, I understand you don't know which way to go, but I still have to get your attention, because if I tell you where to go, the first thing you're going to do is take off. You're going to take off with half instructions. Because as soon as I say go, there you go. You don't know where you're going. You don't know how you're going to get there. You don't even know what you're supposed to do when you get there. You just heard me say go, so you went. But God said, I need to fill you in on a few things. I need to show you who you really are, because when you get there, you're going to face some more trials. So before you get there, I got to pour some stuff into you to make sure that when you get to your destination, you're good. When you get to the person that I have for you, you're good. I got to fill you with some stuff first. I got to tell you some stuff first. I got to teach you some lessons first so that while you're on your journey, you won't get sidetracked. So let me dry up this brook first so I can get your attention. Let me get you to the point to where you can hear from me and me only. You ever heard of a dog whistle? A dog whistle is specifically made for dogs' ears. You ever been around a dog whistle and somebody blow it? What'd you hear? Nothing. Why? Because a dog whistle wasn't made for your ears. It was made for the ears of the dog. The frequency in a dog whistle is pitched so high that we can't even hear it, but dogs can. And God said, if you would just train your ears to my whistle, if you would just train your ears to what I'm trying to tell you, you'll go where I'm trying to get you to. But the problem is we haven't tuned into God's frequency just yet. We're on the wrong channel. He said, I need you to tweak your whistle I need you to tweak your ears just a little bit. Ain't nothing wrong with the whistle. Something wrong with your ears. I need you to understand that I've been blowing the whistle. You just haven't heard it yet. So in order for me to get you to hear it, I got to dry up some stuff in your life. I got to clear up the mucous membranes in your ears so you can hear clearly. I got to get your attention in order for you to understand that it's me, the one that's speaking to you, not anybody else. It's me, Lord. Here I am. That's where God is trying to get you to. Lord, you called me. Yes. Lord, you want me to go somewhere? Yes. But he wants you to understand that it's only him that is trying to get your attention. The enemy is trying to get your attention as well. But you need to understand the difference. Everything that's calling your name ain't for you. Let me say that again. Everything that's calling your name isn't for you. Just because it's got your name on it don't mean it was specifically tailored for you. We got to listen. But then we also have to trust. Elijah listened to God. And he went to the brook because he trusted God enough to do what God told him to do. He was learning to trust God through the exercise of eating and drinking. He was learning to trust God. Through the exercise of eating, birds were bringing him bread. That ain't a Disney movie. That ain't Snow White. Birds were bringing him bread. When's the last time a bird showed up at your window to bring you something to eat? Birds were bringing him bread. A stream of water was giving him everything he needed to drink. It was nourishing him. Through this simple exercise, God was showing him, I will supply all of your needs by any means necessary. I know you've gotten used to depending on your own, but trust me, I got ways that you would never think of. I can do things that you would never be able to comprehend, but understand and know that I'm able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you could ever ask, think, or imagine. Through this simple exercise of just eating, Elijah was learning how to trust God and learning how to depend on him for his every need. Some of you are in a situation right now, and God is sending ravens to feed you. And he's got a brook that's flowing. You don't know how you're making it, but you're making it. You don't know how bills ain't getting reported, but they ain't getting reported. You don't know how your lights are still on, but they still on. God said, if you quit worrying about how stuff's going to work out and trust the one who works everything out, everything going to be all right. You don't understand how you're making ends meet, but guess what? They meeting. You don't understand how you still here in your right mind, but guess what? You still here in your right mind. Everything that tried to come up against you didn't prosper. It didn't win. You still sitting here in your right mind in the house of worship. Ain't God good? While you was trying to figure it out, God was already working it out. Ain't God good? While you was trying to figure out how stuff was going to happen, God said, I already made it happen. Don't worry about that. I just need you to trust me enough to just come in and worship me. If you would just trust me and never doubt, I'll surely work it out. I think the song says, take your burdens to the Lord. Leave them there. Anybody trust him enough to leave him there? You know why you can trust him? Because last year when you was in the situation that you was in, what'd he do? He brought you out. Year before that, when you was in the situation that you were in, what'd he do? He brought you out. 10 years ago, when you was in the situation that you were in, what did he do? He brought you out. He brought you from faith to faith, from glory to glory. He's continuing to meet your needs. He's continuing to see about you every now and then. And it boggles me why people worry the way they do. If God is still sitting on the throne, what you worrying about? I tell people all the time, if God is God, then go to sleep. The minute God stops being God, that's when you need to worry. But as long as he's still sitting on the throne, as long as he still has all power in his hands, as long as he's able to do whatever I need him to do, what am I going to worry for? God's got it all under control. When are we going to get to the point to where we stop worrying and start worshiping? Hadn't God done enough in his track record long enough to show you that you don't need to worry about anything? Hadn't he done enough for you in the past? Didn't he bring your children out? Didn't he bring you out? Didn't he provide all your needs? Ain't it? When does he have to stop proving himself to you? When do you walk with your shoulders held back and your head held high and say, God is providing all of my needs. I'm not going to worry about anything today. Isn't that what Jesus tried to teach his disciples? Give us this day. And when you pray that, I want you to pray. The next time you pray that, you should pray that with confidence that God is going to give you this day. God, whatever I need in this day, I trust that you're going to provide it. Whatever I need, I trust that you're going to provide. God, whatever I need today, I trust that you're going to provide it. 3 days ago, I prayed a prayer when my children and my husband walked out the door. I said, God, I thank you for protection. I thank you for provision. I got a phone call later that afternoon that my husband had been in an accident on the expressway. It could have been much worse. But look, he's sitting right here. The next time I get in a situation that's going to cause me to worry, all I need to look back is December 12th and know that on that day, God protected. So why am I going to worry about anything that I got going on? If he was God on December 12th, I'd guarantee that he's going to be God on December whatever I need him to be. I ain't gonna worry about nothing else no more because God has been too good to me. He's shown me who he is too much. He's been too good. He's provided too many needs. He's opened too many doors. He's answered too many questions. He's provided too many ways for me to pay my bills when I didn't know where the money was coming from. But God said, I got you. So God, as long as you're gonna continue to be God, I'm gonna continue to worship you. My mama used to tell me all the time, stay in a child's place. And let grown folk handle grown folk business. God told me the same thing. I need you to stay in your place and let me handle my business. I said, okay, God, you got it. My place is to worship you. Your place is to provide my needs. My place is to worship you. Your place is to work it out. My place is to worship you. Your place is to open a door. My place is to worship. Your place is to provide a need. My place is to worship. Your place is to protect. My place, you see, my place ain't changed. I'm just going to continue to worship. Ain't that good to know that you ain't got to do nothing but worship God and he's doing all the rest on his part. You ain't got to do nothing but come into the house of worship and say, God, I thank you for all that you've done for me. God, if it had not been for you, I don't know where I'd be. God, thank you because you've been so good to me. Thank you. You didn't have to, but I'm so glad that you did. God, I thank you for making a way out of no way. God, I thank you for protecting my children. God, I thank you for protecting my husband. God, I don't know how you did, but I'm so glad that you did it. God, it ain't none of my business for real how you did it, but I'm so glad that you did. God, I thank you for everything that you did. Because when I look back over my life and I think things over, I can truly say that I've been blessed. Anybody got a testimony? Has God been good to anybody in here? If he's been good to you, won't you just take just a few minutes to just say, thank you, Lord. Come
Come on. Just take just a few minutes to say, Lord, I thank you for all of that, the things that you've done. Thank you for blessing me in 2000. Thank you for blessing me in 2001 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 5. Thank you that you didn't take a break in 2006. Thank you that you didn't go to sleep in 2007. Thank you, Lord, that you didn't get fed up with me and quit in 2008. Thank you, Lord, that you continue to love me in 2009. God, I thank you that you continue to heal my body in 2010. God, I thank you that in 2011 you opened a door. God, I thank you that in 2012 you still walk with me and talk with me. God, I thank you that in 2013 I didn't have to provide my own way. God, I thank you that in 2014, God, that you continue to meet all of my needs. God, thank you in 2015 I didn't lose my mind. God, thank you in 2016 I'm still here. God, thank you. In 2017 my children are still here. God, thank you in 2018 I'm still here. God, I trust you with my life. I don't trust nobody else but you with my life. So whatever, God, you want me to do, I'm going to do it. Because you've shown me time and time again that you're trustworthy. You've kept my secrets. You've made my name great. In spite of all the things that I've done, God, you still loved me. You still care about me. Even though you know who I really am, you know my innermost thoughts, and you still love me. The stuff I wanted to do, the stuff I wanted to say, God, you knew all about that, but yet and still, you still walk with me. Yet and still, you still command the ravens to feed me. Thank you, God. So in 2019, when a problem presents itself, I'm not going to trip. I'm going to trust. In 2019, I don't know what it's got for me ahead, but that don't matter. That ain't none of my business. My business is to stay in a child's place and just worship you. In 2019, I'm going to stay in a child's place. I ain't gonna try to be grown and fill my britches, as my mama used to say. I'm gonna stay in a child's place and just worship you. And that's exactly what Elijah did. He listened, he trusted, but then he did something interesting. He moved. You still got your Bibles open? It's one thing to trust in him, but it's altogether something different to trust him. The Bible says that he heard from God at this dried up brook that he was at. And he heard God say, move and go to Zarephath. So Elijah got up from where he was and he moved. And he encountered a widow. Now remember, there was a drought, not only by the brook, there was a drought in the land. So everybody was affected by this. And Elijah encountered a widow who was about ready to pack it all up herself. She was about ready to pack it up. She was collecting some sticks. She was gonna go home, make a last meal, and that's it. But she encountered Elijah and he said, give me a little water and make me a little cake. And she did just that. And because she obeyed, her house was always full of meal. She always had something to eat. She always had something to drink. And as I read that passage, I thought that was very interesting. Had Elijah never moved, she would have never gotten the opportunity to obey. Somebody missed that. Had he not moved when God told him to, he would have never encountered the widow at the gate. Had she never encountered the prophet, she would have never gotten the opportunity to obey. And had she not gotten the opportunity to obey, she and her son would have died. Somebody out there is counting on you in here to do what you're supposed to be doing. God has given you an assignment. God has given you a mandate. God has given you a command. And there's somebody on the outside that is depending on you doing what you're supposed to be doing. It's time to move. 2019 is almost here. It's time to move. Somebody, some young person is depending on you doing what God has called you to do. And I know you're thinking, I'm well up in age now. That don't matter. God didn't necessarily call you to flip no acrobats. God just said, do what I ask you to do. And that could be just teaching somebody something. You didn't go through what you went through just for you. You went through it so you could tell somebody else about how good God is. You went through it so you could tell somebody, God got me out. Baby, guess what? He can get you out too. You went through what you went through so you could tell somebody else, hey, don't do what I did. Because you're going to end up having to go down the same road I did. How about you go a different way? You didn't go through what you went through just for you to say, look at me now. No, you went through what you went through because you're supposed to have a testimony after the test. You're supposed to have learned a lesson behind what you went through, and somebody is waiting on you to teach them what you're supposed to have learned. It's time for you to move. Somebody is depending on you moving. It's time for you to get up off your rusty dusty, as my daddy used to say, and do something with what God has given you. God gave you some gifts and some talents and some wisdom and some knowledge. And there are people out there that are dying in these streets because we as church folk are sitting in here on our laurels and not doing anything with what God has given us. I didn't come to fuss. This ain't my... I'm done. It's time for us to begin to move. It's time for us to begin to do what God has called us to do. Elijah heard from the voice of God. Elijah trusted God. And then he did something with what God told him to do. He got up and he went. He got up and he moved. And I'm so glad that I encountered somebody that moved on my behalf. I'm so glad that I encountered somebody that didn't just listen. I'm so glad that I encountered somebody that didn't just trust. But one Friday, he moved to a hill called Calvary. I'm so glad that I encountered somebody that moved to a cross that had nails with it. I'm so glad that the nails didn't deter him. I'm so glad that the public humiliation didn't deter him. I'm so glad that the embarrassment didn't stop him. I'm so glad that he kept moving. He moved from person to person. He moved from one problem to the next problem. He moved from whips and chains. I'm so glad that didn't none of that stop him. I'm so glad that his love for me kept moving him from place to place to place to place until he got to the point to where he hung there from the sixth to the ninth hour. I'm so glad that his love for me kept him moving from the sixth to the ninth hour. I'm so glad that his love for me kept him moving to hang between two thieves. I'm so glad that his love for me didn't let anything stop him. I'm so glad that he kept moving and he kept moving and he moved from the cross to the grave. And I'm so glad that he laid there all day Saturday. I'm so glad that he moved from the cross to the grave and from the grave early on Sunday morning. He moved to all authority. I'm so glad that he moved and got up with all power. And anybody know who I'm referring to? Well, if you don't, let me just go ahead and let you know. I'm so glad that Jesus moved on my behalf. Is there anybody here that's glad he moved for you? I'm so glad he moved for me. He moved mountains out of my way. I'm so glad he moved for me. I'm so glad that he moved mountains and made them molehills. I'm so glad that he moved problems out of my way. I'm so glad that he moved past my problems and he continued to provide all of my needs. I'm so glad that he moved past my crazy behavior and he moved on my behalf. I'm so glad that he continued to move past my idiosyncrasies and my crazy thoughts and my crazy ways, and he continued to move on my behalf. Maybe he ain't moved for you, but can I just testify for a moment? I should have been the one up there on the cross one Friday. I should have been the one in the grave on Saturday, but God said he loved me so much that he went in my stead. I'm so thankful to God that that he didn't just stay where he was. He could have stayed in heaven comfortable, looking down on me, making me fend for myself. But I'm so glad that he decided to come down through 42 generations just when I needed him most. I'm so glad that he moved on my behalf and he continues to move on my behalf. He could have stopped when he got up on Sunday morning, but is anybody still seeing him work in your life? Is anybody still feeling the effects of what he did over 2,000 years ago? I'm so glad that he continues to move in my mind. I'm so glad that he continues to move in my heart. I'm so glad that he continues to move in my hands and in my feet, because sometimes I can feel him moving all over me. I'm so glad that sometimes when I come into the house of worship, I can feel him moving in my hands. I just, sometimes I can't even sit still when I think about how good God has been. I said, Lord, I thank you for all that you've done for me, because God, had it not been for you on my side, I truly don't know where I would be. God, I thank you for keeping me when nobody else was wanting to be still with me. God, I thank you that when nobody was wanting to fool with me, God, you was right there by my side, never leaving me nor forsaking me. God, I thank you for continuing to love me. God, I thank you for all that you've done. Is there anybody glad that God has done so many wonderful things in your life? Is there anybody here that just said, God, I thank you. God, you've been so good to me. I just can't tell it all. If I had 10,000 tongues, it still wouldn't be enough to tell you thank you. Because there's some stuff that God did that I've already forgotten about, but God is still good. He keeps blessing me over and over and over and over again. And I just want to come into the house of worship and tell him, God, thank you. I know you didn't have to, but I'm so glad that you did. God, thank you. I know I don't deserve it, but I'm so glad that you did. And if there's anybody here that's glad that he did something for you, won't you stand all over the building and just give him a few minutes of praise? He's deserving of that. Isn't he worthy of just a few minutes of your praise? I know sometimes church gets in the way, but can we just take just a few minutes to stop and worship God, because he deserves